You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, weather was accommodating. I know in the next few days it won't be. It's going, as the cliche goes, this is going to be hot as hell. Yeah. Everywhere, at least east of the Mississippi. I can't speak too much about west. I know what I heard was happening east of the Mississippi was going to be something else. So anyway, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You know, I love what Brother Elliot has done. So easy, man. Although, I'm having problems with my screen, I guess. But it's, you know, you go right to timeforanawakening.com. Don't have to go nowhere else. Go to timeforanawakening.com. On the right side of the page is the link for the broadcast. And it's 24/7. But my program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And then at that time, it's live. You click on, and here we go. Can't get any harder, easier than that. All right. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this is African Perspectives, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move. Brother Geronimo Pratt and the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. On Sunday at 7 p.m., I can't remember, I know Brother Jamoke, reparations pieces back on every other weekend. I got to get that from Elliot. On Sunday at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Number to call, 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And, of course, if you can use a shortcut, whatever search engine that you use, whatever it is, Firefox, Google, whatever, put in the search, Baba Oshi. .net, BABAOSHI.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba. He is gearing up for his Kemetic trip November 20th. So he got a couple months, and it's $4,500, good price. November 20th to December 2nd, Kemet. November 20th to December 2nd. $4,500 going to Kemet.
December 24th to January 4th, 2025, 4800, South Africa, Azania, South Africa. April 4th through the 14th, 2025, $4,500, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, $4,600. Ooh, Ghana. Ghana's gone up. It's about $4,500 for the last trip back in July. It's still reasonable, believe me. November 20th to December 1st, 2025, $4,500, Tanzania. And then there's a Brazilian trip, but the dates are off. So we'd rather come on to square that away. Africa for the Africans. That's right, Brother Bamani Tayemba. Facebook. Go to Facebook if you want to see photos. Go to Facebook if you want to see photos. Facebook.com/Bamani. Go to YouTube if you want to see videos. YouTube.com/Bamani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad, and the great work that the Habesha program is doing for brothers and sisters here in Atlanta and definitely on the continent. HabeshaIncorporated.org, the Kashi Project, the buildings, just tremendous. Go to the website, HabeshaIncorporated.org, HabeshaIncorporated.org. And the program in October 12th, we'll talk about that real soon. Hopefully we can get somebody on to talk about it in depth. It's going to be in Ghana, but they do great work here. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They deal in the four areas of human necessity, human essentials, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employees and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan, on a mission in Kenya. And hope he'll be back soon and give us some good information, a good synopsis of what went down, how things are going. The Minister of Wellness. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. He has new products. He's information. So check out theministerofwellness.com. Smile Pharmacy. Smile Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Brother Jabril. Give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smile Pharmacy. Man, he has a new lineup of products. Brothers, go to the website, smilepharmacy.com. Or give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. Or email smilepharmacy@gmail.com. smilepharmacy@gmail.com. All right. The Moses West Foundation. Brother Moses West, committed to helping to provide clean, safe, drinkable hygiene solutions. Water. The elixir of life. Without water, it doesn't happen. Here's a smart way to end this, because we're in a water crisis, no doubt about that, globally. We collaborate closely with municipal and community leaders to identify areas within the communities that lack access to clean water. Once they're found, through this collaboration, we gain a deeper understanding of the local needs and formulate a targeted mission aimed at fundraising for the installation of a permanent water unit in these communities. Our approach takes on the creation of comprehensive safe water solutions, incorporating both the necessary tools and educational programs to ensure that every member of the community benefits from the sustainable access to clean water. Yes, great. You see what he can do, what has been done. Water and climate change are inextricably linked. Extreme weather events are making water more scarce, more unpredictable, more polluted, or all three. These impacts throughout the water cycle threaten sustainable development, biodiversity, and people's access to water and sanitation. Flooding and rising sea levels can contaminate land and water resources with salt water or organic matter and cause damage to water and sanitation infrastructure, such as water points, wells, underground water sources, and wastewater treatment facilities. He has more to say, but I'm going to just read that. And man, I tell you, Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation. Check him out. All right. Well, Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta in the West End. Fine selection of smoothies, fruit drinks, pastries, health foods, dry goods, beans, and corn, and so forth. All kind of good stuff from Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, and so much more. Give Mama Nia a call at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we also promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located east of Atlanta in Lithonia, right off of I-20. Take I-20 going east and take exit 74 Main Street in Lithonia. Get exit I-20, make a left at the light, and go straight for about a mile or so, and then on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar by my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. You want to give him a call? Call him at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the other way from whence you came. So instead of going north, now you're going south. And then when you get to I-20, make a left again onto I-20. The next exit after 74 is 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit, make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. I was told something just beautiful and miraculous happened a few weeks ago. People were instructed to come to the new Black Wall Street Market and check it out, and more importantly, spend money. I was told that's what went down. I'm just so happy about that fact. I just hope that it's just not a one-time shot, but that people, because see, it's like this, dear brothers and sisters. I wish that, and the brother passed, the brother who started the new Black Wall Street Market, he passed. He passed not too long ago. And, man, but I wish he had the money totally to complete the project with the new Black Wall Street Market, that all of the stores, all of the other things that they wanted to do were completed, you know. So when he opened up, it was ready to go, and it was promoted throughout the South and even into the Midwest. It was promoted, you know, with incentives to come down, you know, to come here to Georgia, come here to the Atlanta area, and come to the new Black Wall Street Market. that didn't happen. And stores started closing and closing and closing. And many of the ideas that they had, they had to change them. Things were made vacant. But I'm hoping that the new Black Wall Street market will be resurrected. Hope that happens. All right. Us lifting us to economic development, cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The new Black Wall Street, us lifting us. Every Thursday night, the Thursday night broadcast is from 9 to 10, from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday nights. On Blog Talk Radio, that's Blog Talk Radio. radio.com/ULU. If you want to call to listen or call to give questions, comments, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah. He's open Tuesdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., closed on Mondays. He's 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon. And believe me, he's got, he's got furniture, he's got clothing, he's got CDs, DVDs, incense, oils, jewelry, literature, movie. Oh, man, he's just got it going on. So much at the Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Give Brother BJ a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. 434-7963. Gabriella Aurelia is doing an outstanding job with our children in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And believe me, if we don't help her, they ain't going to get no help. They don't get any money from the from those who, you know. No, that ain't happening. So, Baba Barudi, Mama Yah, of course they have school and Akaba Institute. Man, I tell you, I love what they do, and you should too. Go to Akaba Institute. If you want to use PayPal, go to PayPal, Cash App, YahBarudi.com. Yah. YAA.Barudi, BRU.com. And you can use PayPal or Cash App, $ Yah, the letter M, Barudi, to make your payments or just to give a donation, whatever the case may be. It's all good. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah. August 25th. What if you woke up in the morn at the crack of dawn? Look out the window and seen that it was on. Would you be prepared? Would your family starve? What if they cut the water supply and all the food was gone? Think contingent if you're planning on existing. What if I'm to death? United Front. At the heart of every African nationalist life lies the concern for securing our space against alien invasion. Above all else, family, it is a mandate that calls for us to ever be prepared for any threat, any incursion, any emergency. As servants of our people who know their most important Their most primary job is to defend them. They must never be caught unaware of or ill-prepared for any threat. Preparedness requires much practice and proficiency. And every African nationalist should put as a much emergency as every national African nationalist should put as much energy as possible in becoming as well qualified in every possible skill as they are able. As with warriorhood in general, they must not fall for the limelight fantasies. Practicality must guide the choices of what skills they need to learn, because they can never be absolutely sure of exactly what will be needed at any given time and place, because they do not have the ability to know or create a fixed, predetermined future where only what they learned is needed. They move knowing that every skill will find its rightful place. I say, affirm, I am what effing them to death. I am what effing them to death is. If I'm to death. August 26th. Every statement is political. Kwame Ture, Charles Hamilton. There is nothing within human thought, speech, and action that is not political. Everything within the expense of the universe, which is subject to human identification and definition, whether visible or understood as such, is political. Identification and definition by default give intellectual ownership to whatever is named, rendering it politically responsive to the interests of any naming group and all others who accept their authority and right to name. Naming is an exercise in power and therefore has interest. So there is no such thing as an African, European, or menticidal individual who is not fully political. Being is political. And this is why we say that for any given individual, our concern over their personal politics should always override any fascination with their public display. Politics, like history, tell everything, regardless of what is now before our eyes and ears. Our ancestors understood the level of social corruption that was necessary in order for the separation of public and private thought and behavior to be considered acceptable and normal. What is pursued in public life is a direct reflection of personal private interests, no matter how well disguised publicly. Significant contradictions will not be found in the home. I hope not. That is where the mind is most itself. That's where the mind should get peace and rest. This need for personal transparency, emerging one's character and commitment to African interests, applies even more seriously on the front line with the lives of our warriors and their pursuit of a sovereign vision are most at stake. I say. Affirm, I am aware of the political nature, intent, and implications of every statement I conceive and utter. I'm accountable. Ashe. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sesim. Daily Revolutionary Thought. This is a open mic Monday. And I got a program Wednesday, but after that I'm going to be out of town again, family. Gone for a minute. Not long. Miss a day or two of our programming. And of course, Brother Kwaku. Brother Kwaku going to be gone too. So Brother Elliot is going to put on something. That's right. So, but I want to play a couple of things that I've heard. This was sent by Brother Marcus. And unfortunately, I'm not too clear about what's happening. But there are people, over 200 people have been killed in Burkina Faso. Remember, we talked about the glowing terms of what's happening in Burkina Faso. And what happens in Africa, all throughout the continent. Some good things have happened, some things spring up. But then again, we must understand, Africa is under severe attack by all those who want a piece of Africa and Africa's resources. That's why the main thing for us as African people is unity. The main thing, the bottom line, is that functional unity, that we work together for the benefit. It is not about any tribe. It is not about any nation. It's not about any group. It is about African people having the vision and the unity, but more importantly, the sovereignty to do for themselves. If we want your help, we'll ask for it. And if there's something that goes along with that help, we'll make sure that it is provided. Otherwise, step off. So here's the piece that Brother Marcus sent. And I tell you, I'm not sure how to feel about this, I guess, because lives have been lost. But I'm also understanding that what the brothers and sisters in Burkina Faso, in Niger, and there's another country, this is escaping me, and it's Mali, are doing. Other countries must join them. In fact, to the point where all Africa will join them. So, here's the piece right here, family.
Burkina Faso now, where an Al-Qaeda-linked armed group has taken responsibility for an attack that's killed nearly 200 people there. Now, this happened in the town of Barcelogo on Saturday as soldiers and civilians dug trenches designed to protect security outposts. At least 140 people are also injured. The attackers stole weapons and a military ambulance during their assault. Let's bring in Nicholas Hack now. He is live for us in Dakar. First of all, can you explain the events which led to the deaths of nearly 200 people and more than 100 injured? What happened here?
Well, Miriam, we've just heard from eyewitnesses or survivors of what happened on Saturday in Burkina Faso in the town of Barcelogo, which is roughly 100 kilometers from the capital, Ouagadougou. And the eyewitnesses say that on Friday, they were asked by the Burkina Faso's military on the ground to start digging trenches. Now, many of the civilians did not want to do so. They were afraid of revenge attacks from armed groups linked to Al-Qaeda, but also ISIL that are active in the area. So some of them were forced at gunpoint to dig trenches along this road. And I visited this area. There's a large road that connects the north of the country to the capital, Ouagadougou. So hundreds, if not thousands, of villagers were forced to dig those trenches on Saturday when men in on motorcycles started shooting at them. And from the video published by the Al-Qaeda affiliate, Jamaat Nusrat al-Islam wal Muslimin, there were bodies scattered in those trenches as if they had just dug their own mass graves. Hundreds of bodies of women, children, and men with sandals scattered around the places as they were trying to run away from the attack. Now, the Burkina Faso forces have not talked about it, have not communicated about this attack. But according to the local hospitals, they've activated their emergency plan. Nurses, doctors have been recalled to try to treat those that have been injured. But there are many more unaccounted for. And we expect in the hours to come that the death toll will continue to rise. Miriam?
Nick, how is the army's fight against armed groups going there?
Well, it depends who you talk to. According to the junta, it's going pretty well. They've been able to stem off some attacks. But the reality is, Miriam, is that they have lost control of half of the country to armed groups linked to Al-Qaeda and ISIL. And there are more than 2 million people. 2 million people that are on the move fleeing ongoing attacks. And the month of August, which hasn't ended, has been one of the deadliest so far. And this is happening at a time where there's great uncertainty among the military ranks of the capacity of the military junta to stem out those attacks themselves. There's been rumors of coups and counter coups against the junta. And analysts say that the military junta are too preoccupied to maintain their power rather than to stem off these attacks from armed groups. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation is getting worse, Miriam. According to the Norwegian Refugee Council, the conflict in Burkina Faso is one of the most neglected conflict in the world. They say that there is a lack of funding, there's a lack of interest or of a diplomatic solution to this ongoing situation.
Thank you so much. With all the latest from Dakar there, Nicholas Hack. Well, Victor Doke is a professor of international studies at the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. He joins us now from Accra in Ghana. This is a really gruesome attack which took place in the town of Barisalago. Nearly 200 people have been killed, but that number is expected to rise. How serious are the security and humanitarian challenges in Burkina Faso right now?
Thank you very much. First of all, it is very unfortunate that incident has claimed a lot of lives. But the seriousness of the security and humanitarian issues in Burkina Faso is dire. Why do I say so? Now, we were all privy to the information when, first of all, Burkina Faso was suspended because the junta took over. And then subsequently, we heard that they are opting out of the sub-regional body ECOWAS. Now, in line with that, they had their own intentions, or they came up with regards to forming and the joining the Alliance for the Sahel together with Mali and Niger. Now, this only points to the fact that now, once you opt out or you willingly declare your position with regards to coming up with a collective body that can assist you with regards to fighting terrorism and violent extremism, technically, right now, Burkina Faso, you are on your own. That is what it meant. Now, whether the Alliance for the Sahel has that capacity to even contribute troops or equipment to whatever to fight these armed groups is another issue. There's another question. What is going to happen? Now, they're going to have more challenges with regards to fighting their armed groups.
But has something? Can I ask you? As you say, the government is pursuing an aggressive military campaign against groups like ISIL and Al Qaeda. But those groups, those fighters, I mean, given what happened in the town of Barisalago on Saturday, civilians digging trenches, they ended up killed inside those trenches. Are those fighters becoming more violent? Are they increasingly turning on civilians now?
Very much so. Now, when you have fighters who have been in existence, okay, for how long, nobody knows. Now, one other issue is these fighters have been given that mandate. Why do I say so? The junta has enabled by their actions concentrating on political power than fighting these armed groups. Now, they've emboldened these armed groups to now willingly and then confidently come into town and take on civilians. Now, anybody who's not seen to be supporting them will be taken or will be killed. That is what is happening now. The junta itself is having challenges, okay? Now, even before they became a junta, we all know the challenges that they faced. And now, becoming a junta, there is no kind of capacity, there is no kind of equipment. Where is the manpower? Where is the collective...
So, from what you're saying, there's absolutely... There's no dialogue efforts with these fighters. There is just a total war now against these groups. They are now in control of 50% of the country. What does that mean for the people? Because it seems as though aid agencies can't access civilians who are in need.
Right. So what it means is, one, they will control this 50% of the land. Thereby, local government cannot access the area. Okay? The people there will become or will be under their authority. And whoever will not cede or will not come under the authority will be killed. That is what it's going to mean. The junta is going to have a problem, a challenge, even wanting to take back that territory. So what currently is going on is these armed groups are in total control of that part of the country, which is not good for the entire junta themselves. Because once they control that land, they may want to control even more in advance by attacking, by using violent means to achieve that goal. Humanitarian-wise, you would have loss of lives. Now, how did these people even come out of that area is another challenge. Now, there will be an opportunity for these armed groups to even recruit more men onto their side. Whoever will not want to come onto their side will be taken out. So humanitarian-wise, Burkina Faso is going to face a challenge. Aid and international groups that would want to even offer assistance may find it very challenging because the army itself is not capable of reaching these areas, how much more even when the international community comes in. So we wait to see what is going to happen. But the question is, what will the junta itself do? Will it turn to Russia, like many other African states? Mm. These are questions we are waiting to be answered.
Well, thank you for shedding some light on what has to be one of the world's most neglected crises right now. Thank you very much, Professor Victor Doke.
Make sure to subscribe to our channel to get the latest news from Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera reported this. This is a tough situation, family. Man, just a month ago we were talking about Burkina Faso in glowing terms and futuristic terms in terms of what they were able to do at the time, and now this. I'm not sure of all what is happening, but I would love to have somebody who knows somebody that is more, I mean, the gentleman who spoke towards the end, not the reporter at the beginning, but the gentleman spoke towards the end. I don't know where he'd come from either, because he didn't sound too positive. And he didn't sound too positive for the junta, which is the leadership presently in Burkina Faso. So, brothers and sisters, the situation that is happening with Africa and Africans globally has always been in disarray, always been fragmented. It's always been iffy. And of course, those who want Africa's resources, want Africa's land, want African people, want to maintain that. They want to keep it as such. They don't want Africa to unite. Remember, I played that piece by Howard Nicholas. We must keep Africa divided. We must keep Africa poor. We must make sure Africa never develops anything. That it has raw materials, it has these resources, but do not let them develop using those resources. No manufacturing, nothing. Man, oh man, oh man, family. So I'm looking forward to the information as it progresses, you know. And I'll tell you, you know, Burkina Faso under attack. There was another piece.
Burkina Faso now, where an Al Qaeda linked armed.
My bad. Another piece that I wanted to play for you from this particular stream. Hope I can get to it. So, well, we're going to open up the phone lines. I saw it, but nah, I don't have it. That's how that stuff works, you know. Yeah. And it's interesting, the politics, isn't it, family? What's going on? Yeah. So, September 10th is a noted date for Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Kamala Harris wants live mics. Oh, really? Do you remember that last debate? They deadened the mic on who was not talking, and the person who talks, mic is live. You make your statements, and then the other person rebuts when they turn that mic on. I don't know. We'll see, man. That information just, man. Quite sure the poll results for Kamala Harris are good. She should be doing very well, you know. Even though RFK suspended his independent. You know, let me say this. Anybody who's forming an independent or a third party in this craziness is a fool. And anybody who gives them money is a fool. It's not going to happen. Maybe you're saying that we're going to go with the independent people and fuel them money because at least he has a message or she has a message that needs to be heard. And maybe early on in the process, she'll have enough support to be in the debates. You know, and they have the beginning debates when they have like 7-8 people more who are on the stage before they whittle down and drop out, you know. So just to get your message out, I understand that if you feel that's important, you got to do that. And then bam, there it is. But in terms of being able to continue with the process, it ain't happening. You have to have millions. And since she announced, she's over a half a billion dollars in money raised. Over a half a billion dollars in money raised. Yeah. So, there it is, family. my friend, my dear friend, she texted me and said they're looking for excuses because he doesn't want to debate her. I got to believe that. I do. You know, after all, she's a prosecutor. He's a criminal. And I'm quite sure she gives as a prosecutor, she gives criminals a beat down, you know, because she's on the side of the law, an interpreter of the law, an administer of the law, and he's a lawbreaker. I tell you, Donald Trump, man, I'll be glad when this thing is over. And I will continue to excoriate this country for allowing an individual who's a criminal to run for the highest office in this land and to raise money. Although he's supposed to have been independently wealthy. Well, we all knew that wasn't the case. For those who want to believe that, yeah, that's one thing, but even to allow him to raise money. Man. A good friend of mine, he just mentioned that he feels that Donald Trump might win. I don't have any such feeling. I feel he's going to get his ass waxed. It's going to be when come that Tuesday and that evening as it winds down around 10, 11 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Eastern, you know, that it's going to be announced. It won't be like it was the last time, even though you know Trump lost by 8 million votes. Biden had 8 million votes more. But what does that mean? Because Hillary Clinton had, what, 3 million votes more than Trump? It's the Electoral College bullshit. And if he wins in states that are battleground and he wins them and he gets all of the delegates from that state because he won it, that's where that madness comes in at. That's how he won the last time. No. Just like talking about this is a mandate, no damn mandate. This might be a mandate, though. She may have so many votes and so many electoral votes, it's all over because it's a mandate. Get rid of Trump. Stop this foolishness. Stop pretending. Act like this mother is legal. He has all these indictments and still more to come. His history prior to running for office. His history while running for office. While being elected. His history in the White House. His history in terms of how he mishandled the pandemic. Some of the foolish things he said and talked about doing, and some people did because why? He's the president. His history when he said, no, I ain't going nowhere. Mm-mm. This is a rigged election. I ain't going nowhere. Then he takes a group of people, tells them to come. He does. Tells them to come on January 6th. When the tabulation happens and it is announced that Biden won. His whole thing was telling Pence not to certify the election. It's in your ability. Pence understood it's not. So he's mad at Pence and is willing to have him hung, literally hung. This is an evil man. This man is insane. There should be no way in hell of any sane country that somebody like this could do this. This is crazy. Let me get this brother in. He hadn't talked with Brother Ralph in a while. Good afternoon, Brother Ralph.
Hey, good afternoon. Well, good morning still, I think.
Brother, it just changed at 12 o'clock noon.
Just changed. Well, I ain't going to keep you long because I know it's close to your break. But, I'm looking and I'm listening to how the programming works. And they're doing a good job at it, Brother Oshie.
Okay.
I'm looking at the majority of our people still talking about Trump.
Yeah.
Regardless if Biden had his foot up our ass
right.
for the last 3.5 years. Now, I heard you say that Trump's a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
This nation is criminal.
There's no doubt about it.
Come on, brother.
Brother, there's no doubt about it.
We cannot. Like, I let them get over with emotionalism
mm-hmm.
by showing us these people on TV. This woman has promised us nothing. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we're caping for, I see posts on Facebook where they got Superman costumes on her. Like,
yeah.
She's the greatest thing on earth
yeah.
while being married to a Yerugal. Man, come on. We got to stop being programmed. And I listen very carefully, and I hear the Kate conversation. Biden had his foot up black people's ass for 3.5 years, and we're still talking about Trump.
Mm.
And he talked about criminal. This whole country's criminal of what it does to our people.
I agree.
You know, I hear Brother Paul when he gets emotional, and I'm getting a little emotional now because I see it.
Yeah.
I see the subtle programming. All these black talk radio stations being run by Qs that are in bed with the Democratic Party to tell you everything is okay. Mm-hmm. Just vote for our sister. When your sister, that ain't mine, but when your sister has left California in shambles, the brothers and sisters can't even get on the airwaves to talk about their dilemma. How in Chicago they're paying off people who never paid into the tax system. The Democratic Party is moving them in, paying 2 years of the rent, giving them $5,000 to $10,000 of food stamps and subsidies. Yet, where's our reparations? Come on, man. This conversation got to stop. Where's our reparations? They took it off the table and gave you Michelle and Barack Obama. This stuff infuriates the hell out of me, and we keep talking for the opioid. Though I hear our people talking about Trump all damn day long when Biden had his foot up our ass for the last 3.5 years. Also, Biden said, if you ain't black, you ain't black if you don't vote for me. Total disrespect, my man.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, I'm a continue listening, but when I see the subtle programming, man, look, and I'm a proud independent. I can't vote for either party because one's in the general mutilation, it's in the transgenderism, it's in the bringing people in this country that never paid a tax dollar, stealing my tax money, shipping it off to Israel. I cannot support them. I cannot talk highly of them. We're in a whirlwind, and we still go for the okey-doke year after year after year, and we look like fools, brother.
Yeah, I hear you.
We look like fools.
Because the bottom line, Ralph, is that we're in this madness. This is theirs, and that's what happens in it. That's how we react in it. That's how we do shit in it. This is theirs, not ours. And it's insanity, and it makes us insane of how we treat ourselves.
It makes us look bad.
Oh, yes.
It makes us look weak.
When
I hear our folks all here caping for this woman. And then, you know, this and the other fraud, the other clown ain't been in there for 3.5 years. Yet we're still, they gave us the programming to just focus on him while we still have our foot stuck up your ass. Look, man, I know it's close to your break. I had to call in because, you know, when you talk to this politics, which is nothing. They're going to put in there who they want to put in there anyway. Your vote don't matter. Just like that Warnock and that damn Herschel Walker down there. What has Warnock done for you? What has he done?
But yet people supported Israel. He said unequivocally, without stuttering, the first thing he said when he got elected to the Senate, I'm going to support Israel. Damn. You just right. got elected.
Oshie, we talk about 2025. What about 2020,
yeah.
2021, 2022, 2024? Come on, man. Get our heads out of our asses and look at this thing for what it really is. It's complete injustice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rest my case on Warnock. All right, man.
You right on, Brother Ralph. One, appreciate you, dear right, brother. Brother. Thank you, man. Peace.
Ralph, man. Good warrior. We're going to take a break. It's believe me, we need a break. We need a break. Got a couple good cuts, too. Trouble Man, Iceman's Band. Oh, yeah, it's down to that. Yeah, we got some good music for you. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at TimeForAnAwakening@gmail.com.
Sweat, baby. chicken trumpeter, hair moving down the
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah, I feel Brother Ralph. Man, and I do, you know. Brother Irv, good afternoon.
Baba Oshi, how are you?
I'm well, my friend. How you doing, dear brother?
Always good. I'm fantastic. It's always good to hear your voice, Baba Oshi.
You too, my friend.
I just wanted to tune in just to say that every day I wake up and what I started doing is trying more to control my African thought. So I'm reading a book about Marcus Garvey by Amos Wilson right now. And by doing that, Baba Oshi, it puts that revolutionary thought in my head before I go to bed, when I wake up in the morning. But just by reading that book, not to say that I'm – because everything in the book is so relevant to what's going on right now.
Right now, exactly.
Because, Baba Oshi, and, you know, we could talk about different – things in the news and different current events, which are so relevant, and we have to discuss them. But the real battle is what you say every day. The battle is for the mind.
Yeah.
Regardless of how much money you got or where you live, if you still have that Yorugu's mindset, that Yorugu's rationale, the way he thinks, Google thinks of things, you're going to continue to do what you've been doing and getting what you've been getting. I don't mean to change the subject or take it somewhere else.
No, we on subject, brother. You on point. No.
Yeah.
Because we've been. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, we have to have a mindset that when we look at something, we look at it through the lens of an African or the African that is in you. My African journey is progressive. Don't get it wrong, brother. Baba Oshi, I didn't start out. I started out thinking what my parents told me to think, and they started out thinking what their parents told them to think. But as you get older and you know better, you do better.
Yes, sir.
You don't keep doing the same thing. Oh, we're going to get there one day. Joy going to come in the morning. Morning never comes for people who don't open their eyes because they stay asleep. You have to open your eyes to see. And what I mean by open your eyes is I mean by open your mind.
Yes.
To expand your mind past running down to the Chick-fil-A to get some chicken nuggets, or expand your mind past going to the club to poison your body with alcohol. Don't get me wrong. We all have our vices. And by the time we figure that the vices are killing us, we're already addicted. Okay?
Yeah.
So the point is, come on, man. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm not saying that African people are just the greatest people. They love you. And when you come home, they're going to have open arms. They're just as colonized as you are.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing. But as long as we are fighting and chipping away at this Irugu's, the world that Irugu has forced us to live. When I say that, I mean they forced us to think like them. They forced us to look like them. They forced us to talk like them. They forced us to enjoy the things they enjoy. Miss America has to look like the picture of the white lady on, like Wonder Woman with no stomach, you know, that type of stuff. These things are not even, this is not even my reality. Mm. This is your reality that you gave me.
Right, you imposed it on us.
So now you have the power over me. Mm. But, you know, it's a shame-based alliance. Baba Oshi, I'm ashamed of you and you ashamed of me.
Yes, it is. A shame-based alliance. Yeah.
Come on. But Baba Oshi,
the oppressed in league with the oppressor.
In league in a shame-based alliance. Okay. Isn't that amazing? That says it all, Baba.
It really does, and that's real. That's a great title of the brother's book, man.
Brother Fox, Dr. Fox.
Yeah, Dr. Fox. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's the truth. But the reality is, it's that everything for me, and I'm not can't speak for no one but myself, is a process. Everything is a process, and that's why a lot of my wife used to get upset with me when she would I would talk about consciousness. You think you know everything just because you read a couple books? You think you bliggity black black black? I said I do.
Right on.
Yeah. That's all I said was I
do. The black power fist.
So, but and then I looked at it and said, you know, and I know that's a turnoff because people love to debate, and when you can't talk about if you can't talk about the book, they came before Columbus, Vansirdam, when you can't talk about those things, and I'm talking to you about it, then you feel like you're. Dang, I can't even discuss this with them. But the reality is, if you open your mind and seek the knowledge, because knowledge itself, it's all the good part about our ancestors, Dr. Clark and Amos Wilson and Vansirdama and others, they gave us and they left this for us. Like, it's the same way they left it on the walls and the tombs in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They left it in the pyramids all over the world. They left the knowledge, Baba Oshi, they did not die with it. They left it here. We got videos now. You can get if you don't want to read, you can get an audio book. You ain't got to sit down and read a book. You can put it in your ear, in your earbud.
Right.
And take them songs out of there and put that knowledge in there. And it'll penetrate your brain.
Exactly. And where you go, it goes.
That's right.
You know, and whatever you do, it's in you. Yeah,
that's it, and that's what we are, because Africa is in you, Baba Oshi, mm-hmm. whether you're in Africa or not,
mm-hmm.
it's in you, and so goes my brother, so goes I.
Because you can't tell me that that Marcus Mosiah Garvey was an African. He understood. He never set foot in Africa. But he understood that Africa, for Africans at home and abroad, he understood the importance of Africa as a continent, as a homeland for African people. He went other places around the world. He just wasn't stuck in Jamaica saying all of this. No, he went other places around the world. Unfortunately, he never set foot on the African continent. And believe me, his whole idea was to transform the continent into a place where Africans rule, a place where Africans control their land, their resources, their people, and become players in the world instead of pawns. He understood this. So no, brother man, you're most correct. Yeah, I mean, to me, you go to Africa, and you've been, and I know you're going to go again. I know I will, too.
Yeah.
But there are many of us who may never set foot on Africa, but they're African-centered.
That's right.
You know?
You're African.
They're African.
You see?
And they understand it. You know? And that's what we need more of. I got that information about what's happening in the Burkina Faso, and I'm right. looking to get more information, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Find out.
Oh, yeah. We
because they said the government lost half of the country, 2 million people, based upon what I played earlier from a piece that Brother Marcus sent me, But we'll see. And I'm anxious to know more because Burkina Faso, Mali, and Nigeria, these three countries, and to me, if that happened, how they're saying it happened, it was an insurgency by one of the ISIS or,
French posing as ISIS.
Yeah. So who knows?
There were no insurgents until Rugu got there. So as soon as the Rugu comes, all of a sudden, they're insurgents. They're terrorists. And they're going to protect you from them terrorists. That's what the Rugu did. That's why the French army was there to protect them from the. Like they can't protect themselves.
Well, this is all a con game. Yeah,
This is for the uranium.
I'm going to seek out the information as much as possible. And I know they cut everybody off from gold. So when you do a bold move like that, man, you got to expect, some foolishness coming your way. Some Negroes, some agent provocateurs.
it's Baba Oshi. They're coming for Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they linked up with the other two. They're coming for them because they don't want this. They look at Burkina Faso and Niger and Mali as a virus. They look at them as something that may spread throughout this continent. And if this type of thinking takes hold, then Irugu will be pushed out and run into the sea. Because the only reason that they're able to control these people is with things, with money, with goods, refined goods. But what the African in the continent to me, just my thinking, doesn't get everything they bring to you. You already have it. You don't need their gold. You have more gold than them.
Yeah, you have everything that what you need. The only thing you don't have is your right mind. That's the only thing you don't have is your right mind.
You're absolutely correct. It's your mind.
You already have it.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a feedback, Bob.
Yeah, you have everything.
Okay. Hopefully I'm good. Yeah.
We good. It's time. Mm-hmm. But no, you're right. They and once they get your mind, everything they have looks good. Their chocolate looks good. You got cocoa there. Make your own chocolate.
Yeah.
You don't need nobody.
That's where it all comes from. They take it out of Africa. They take it out of Africa and send it to Switzerland. They take it out of Africa and send it to Belgium. They take it out of Africa and send it to France, England, Cadbury's, Nestle's, M&M's.
Wow. But Baba Oshi, if we do learn the history of Africa, you would learn that companies like Firestone, the tire company, they've done more to kill Africans than any, damn near any other country I've read about.
Yeah.
They killed Africans for that rubber.
For that rubber.
Chopped their arms off, and then we celebrate these companies, Michelin, all the There are only five tire companies actually in the United States, but they have different names. But the thing is, these companies have devastated the continent of Africa, and we hold them up to be some type of economic marvels.
And see, the thing is, they're Western countries. They're in Europe. They're in the United States. In other words, but the resource which they're dependent on is African. The production is American. The production is Western and so forth. And I keep saying, we have the resources. Let us produce this. That's why that cracker, Howard Nicholas said, Africa must never be put into position to produce anything. They must never manufacture nothing. We must keep them poor. I mean, that's so damn arrogant. I just want to beat the shit out of him. I want to go through the line and punch him right in the face. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. I'm sorry.
But I mean, you can see that just like I want to do your boy Trump. But you can see that because of their arrogance and the fact that they feel entitled. They feel privileged. Why that title that Paul gave me way back a few years ago. No, they're not. It's not white supremacy. They're not white, and they sure as hell ain't supreme. What they are is they're European, Caucasian extremism. They're extreme. European, Caucasian extremism, racism. Because even though race is not a real concept,
it's not real.
Correct. It's not a real, but it is real in terms of how it is applied. The European created it. Johann Blumenbach, Göttingen University, Carol Linnaeus, all of them coming out of the 1500s, 1600s. This is recent. This ain't no old shit. This is not something that was happening way back. This is recent. This stratification of race. And, of course, the Indians are also responsible as well with the caste system, stratifying people of different colors. With us, here we are, the first people on the planet, the first people to do anything. We gave the world, and we didn't tell the world, no, you can't come in to sit at our feet. The Greeks, the Romans, all of same and sat at our feet, and we showed them, because that's the kind of humane people we are. We innately understood we are the first people. We are the first teachers. We are the ones who give. No, it ain't like, you know, this is mine, I'm keeping it. Get away. I wish we would have now, of course, in hindsight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, had some serious borders, had some serious deportation, you know. But, I mean.
No, that's, I'm going to cut you off, Bob Oshie, but you're telling the absolute truth, because Dr. Henry Clark pointed out to us that Christianity, we taught them Christianity, they repackaged it and sold it back to us.
Yep.
Because I have a book coming called Christianity Before Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I know, and they're talking about Ethiopia, because Ethiopia had Christianity before the Western people had it.
Yeah.
And that's why there's some books that are not in the so-called Bible.
Right.
So, you know, and all the stories that you see in the Christian Bible, all those stories are written on the tombs or on the walls in Africa. They didn't just make this. It's like people tend to think that Thomas Jefferson created the Constitution. Most of the Constitution was taken from Europe. Europe already had those things written down, and he took most of that from there.
Well, he took from a lot. Let me tell you, what he took a lot from was indigenous people, the Native Americans are here.
See?
They had some codes and so forth. He took that from. So I'm saying, you know, they have no originality. They are counterfeiters. They are appropriators. They're cultural bandits. They're thieves and liars. They're thieves and liars. You know, man, oh man.
And then when you, but the point that gets it, Baba Oshie, is when you actually have a conversation about Arugu, he starts to get. The more you talk about Caucasians, the smaller they get on the stage of the world. Mm-hmm. The more you talk about the truth. Now, if you think the truth is hate speech, then you hate the truth. But when you can back what you say up with evidence, with tangible evidence,
right?
Then Irugu starts to get smaller and smaller, because they even make Africa small on their maps.
Yeah.
These are all things that are done on purpose.
Purpose, yeah.
And anything that's significant in this world, on the world stage of history, Irugu takes credit for it automatically. So who tells the story tells his story.
Right.
And he calls it history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen World War II so many times on History Channel, I could tell you what Hitler ate for breakfast. but yet I can't go to school and learn anything about the Nazism. I can't learn anything about that, because that was so evil that your mind can't process that. Well, why can white people process it? Why does their mind? Why can't some things I just can't learn about? I've heard people say things, Baba Oshie, and family members. Man, them Jehovah's Witnesses, man. That's a cult, man. I said, well, what's the whole Jehovah's Witness about? I don't know. What? You don't know? Well, what you didn't study? I ain't studying nobody. If you ain't a Christian, and see that right there, Baba Oshie, is ignorance to me. When what you believe is so strong that you're so afraid to learn about anyone else. I didn't say you're going to be them. You can be what you want. But learn, open your eyes, open your mind to learn about other things. That doesn't mean you're going to be that. But don't have the fear. Because I'm telling you, Baba Oshie, once you start learning about your African culture, it grabs you. Your eyes open and your heart open and your mind opens, and you start to realize the contradictions and how things are weaponized against you,
mm-hmm.
like religion, like economics, like your feelings, your gender is weaponized against you. And psychology is not a defined science. You know what I mean? One person may look at you and say that you got some psych issues. The other person may look at you and say you're a genius.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because most geniuses look like they crazy, but they're smart as a whip when they get to their discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But have no clue about football. Can't figure that out. But know the theory of relativity. How is that, Baba Oshie? Don't tell me that because you live in Africa's a jungle. It's more jungle in the Amazon than it is in Africa.
It is, but and you're
never,
right.
They'll never teach you that. They'll never teach you that.
Mm-hmm.
But because they want Africa, it's a book called How Europe Underdeveloped Africa by Walter Rodney.
Walter Rodney.
And that book tells you, the thing, the point that I made earlier was our ancestors left us everything we need. Our ancestors left us everything we need to get where we need to go. Because we have, Dr. Henry Clark told us, we're born here. We're born, and most people, Bible, I'm jumping all over the place, but it just hits me in my head. Most people say they want to, as they get older, what's my purpose? What's my meaning? Why am I here? And then as you go on through your life and things you gravitate towards, like I gravitated towards Africa. For some reason, I just couldn't understand why this continent was so big, but yet so misunderstood, so left out. And every time I saw the continent, they made them seem like they were just savages.
Yeah.
They were eating each other.
Yeah.
They lived in the woods.
Right.
They didn't build nothing.
That's what they said. That's what they said, didn't they? And then yet, when you learn about the beauty and the greatness of Africa, it has done for the rest of the world, and then you see how it looks today, and you see the people, and yet you see the material wealth. You see the mineral wealth. You see all the things that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they show in hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Then you become aware of what responsibilities that you have to help other Africans mm-hmm. understand that, to help other
That's
Africans
correct.
And more and more and more until finally we make a move and we go back mm-hmm. home and we
That's
take
right.
care of ourselves and each other, take care of our land. You know,
and Bob Oshie, the second half to that is, there will be a price to pay.
Yeah,
there will be
there will
a
be.
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to go give your life, but I'm saying, what if you do move back to Africa? That's a sacrifice in itself.
Yeah,
you know, what if you do start to write these Rugu's coming for you. If you write an op-ed piece right now about Africa and it goes against what Judaism, what the Jews believe, if it goes against what white folks believe, they're going to come for you. They're going to call your name. They're going to discredit you. They may even come to meet you physically. Because when you start to talk about Africa, it goes directly against all the colonization that we've gone through. And we may not be able to see it because we got a shiny car or because I got a little pension from a job that took 35 years of my life, okay, that I don't get back. They can have all this money back, give my 35 years back. Because, shoot, I was good looking back then, Bob.
You had things you could have done.
Come on now.
Yeah.
I'm old man now.
Yeah, I saw how you looked after that snotty mattress fire that you went to.
Come on now.
All that soot on your face.
And I'm standing there. I'm in there assimilating with the Caucasians, you know, smoking. That's back when I used to smoke cigarettes. Yeah. We smoked a fire in the house at the Overhaul. Yeah. Oh, we bad.
I know. I did too, brother. In fact, I tell you, a cigarette tastes good. You're in the midst of all that madness. But no. Yeah.
But when you know better, you do better. Right. I ain't had a cigarette in 35 years.
That's right.
You couldn't pay me to smoke a cigarette.
That's right.
Smoke a cigarette. That don't even make sense. But my point is, I was taught to assimilate. I was taught to go along, to get along, get in where you fit in. Mm-hmm. Don't be that guy. Don't be what they label. Let them label you as a troublemaker. That's what you are. But this ain't good trouble.
Good trouble.
We ain't doing good trouble.
Yeah.
we ain't doing John that kind Lewis. Of trouble because I'm not. Once I stopped assimilating, then things became a little more difficult. Mm-hmm. Things became a little more interesting. Then people that didn't know me didn't like me. How you don't know like me? You don't know me because they said that you ain't waving the flag and you ain't got the little sticker on your car and say, thank God I'm an American. Really? Well, when you show me a patriotic song that's written by an American African, then I'll do it. That's right. We don't write patriotic songs. You know why? Because we're not Americans. We were stolen and brought here. I didn't come through Ellis Island. My parents didn't have $500 in their pocket and started an Italian restaurant that's now a chain called Olive Garden. My parents didn't do that. My father didn't leave me any money, Donald Trump. Stop saying you poor, you just like me. You got five houses, Obama, because you figured out how this politics works, and you are good at it. You're a political entrepreneur, and that's nothing wrong, brother. I'm not.
Well, you're in the right place for it. You're in the right place for it. You're in the right place for it.
Yeah.
To play those bullshit politics. You know, petty politics. You're in the right place for it. But the bottom line is we are not in the right place. And that's why we suffer.
That's right.
We are not in the right place. And this situation means us no good.
None.
Ill will. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you can see the results of it. I'm going to stop after this. You can see the results of all the things that Rugu has done.
Yeah.
That's why we wear these clothes. That's why the women have the hair. That's why the children want to say words like multicultural. We're the only people in the world, in the United States, Baba Oshi, that election time, we got to put a table out for voter registration. Have you ever seen the Koreans at a voter registration table? You ever seen the Italians at a voter registration table? And why don't they do the second part of voter registration? Voter education.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they do voter registration with voter education so you can know what you're voting for, so they can teach you how the system works? No, we don't want you to know how it works. All we want you to do is vote because, you know, Martin Luther King died so you can vote. No, he didn't. Martin Luther King died with a picture because he wanted to play with little white children.
Yeah.
He wanted black children and white children can hold hands. That's what he wanted to do. I don't want to play with white children. I don't think I get smart just because I'm in a classroom sitting next to a Rugu. That don't make me smart. So no, Baba Oshi, I think we're confused. What the confusion comes in is when you fight that integrationist mindset that's pushed on you.
Mm-hmm.
You fight it because the next thing you know, your son's putting on a dress and you clapping like it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. What's wrong with that? If that's who you are, you go right ahead, Bobby. You got him, gave him a name just like white folks. So I don't know how Peter, Paul, and Mary got in the Bible either in Africa. They should have been Raheem, Jamil, or Malik. You know? Then I would have thought more of it. But Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Yeah.
Ain't that a group?
Yes, it is.
Baba Oshi, I could go on forever.
All right, brother. Let me catch some other callers.
Let somebody else get it bad so we can hear what was going on.
All right, brother.
I love you, man.
Love you too, dear brother. Peace. Brother Ted, how you doing?
Hey, good day, Baba Oshi. How you feeling today?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm bouncing back and forth, multitasking at this hour.
As you always do.
As I always do, right? But I wanted to, you know, just to chime in and say hello and listen to the commentaries, which are all very interesting, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes I wonder, Baba Oshi, have we gotten to a point where it's an every man for himself positioning that we found ourselves in?
Yeah. Well, that's the society in itself here, you know. So we live in it. So unfortunately, we also do it. So we have no allegiance to each other, to our people. You know, in fact, what happens, you are born into a family. Very seldom within this society does that family stay strong, stay together, help and support one another. You know, you go off to another city, another state, same here. You know, yeah, we might easily keep contact now because of FaceTime and Zoom conferences. That's cool, and you should, you know. But the reality is we are fragmented. It's every man and woman for themselves. And the fact is we're most fragmented because we have abandoned each other and our family structure. You know, when you have over 70% of the sisters, you know, out of wedlock, and brothers don't give a damn about that, you know. And some brothers who do find ways to make out a very good living through athletics, singing and dancing, they marry Caucasians, you know?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some trying times. I'm sure everyone knows that we're in some trying times.
Yes,
now.
We are.
And it's a matter of how do we re-galvanize ourselves. We're going into a whole new season. Now, we've been around this block before, so surely there has to be something that we have learned from the past to be able to coalesce with one another and become stronger. It has to be something there.
Yeah. All right, dear brother. Thank you.
All right. Well,
peace to you.
Still tuning in and learning, brother.
Right on,
Thank
brother.
You.
Peace.
Peace.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshi. How are you today?
I'm doing well, my brother. How you doing, brother Paul?
Brother, I'm alive and kicking and giving thanks for life.
Right on.
I've heard so much inspiring information today. So I want to address that first, Brother Ted. I want to address Brother Ted.
Mm-hmm.
It's a profound question. It's something I've actually said many times myself. Yes, it is every man for himself. It absolutely is every man for himself. Despite what I hear, I've come to that conclusion myself because of the reality of it is, who can you really depend on? Even in your own family, sometimes you look around and you think, wow. You know, some things which, it's not until the proverbial doo-doo hits the fan, you realize, wow, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really real truth. And truth sometimes is a bitter pill to swallow. But I think the main reason why that is a situation for us, because we've been put in a holding pen, is what I refer to of the dum-dum zone. I know that sounds very derogatory, but I can't explain it anyway. When I say that, Baba Oshi, I don't mean that we are dumb or many of us are dumb. What I mean is that we have purposely been put in a pen of dum-dumness. And then we play it out. We play it out. We're not dumb, but we play like we're dumb. Sometimes we see us on television playing like we're dumb. Mm-hmm. where we have conversations around white people playing that we're dumb. We're not dumb. We're very highly intelligent. We come with a divine intelligence, but we don't appeal to that divine intelligence. What do I mean? I mean this, Baba Olchi. Right back in Africa, they told us the Sankofa. Sankofa, the Sankofa bird looks backwards. Sankofa means
while
to go
moving
back
forward.
To the source.
By while moving forward. That's right. He looks back. Exactly.
Allegory. Meaning that you have to go back to the source.
To move
one
forward.
Time I said that on one radio station, the brother said, "What source?" And that question he posed to me, this was an African who claimed he was conscious. I realized that he's not conscious. Because if you're conscious, truly conscious, you're constantly questioning yourself. No one has to tell you what source, because it's within you. You tap into your DNA, you tap into your consciousness. No one has to explain it to you. You will work it out for yourself. You will work it out through your real education, what your parents give you, your traditions, your the way you were brought up, everything, your challenges, your failures, your wins, you'll work it out. Mm-hmm. What is the real source? Yeah, look, so Brother Ted poses the question, and I think we are doing that because we are acting like we're dumb. So Baba, I want to say this, Baba Olchi, I want to give this figure again. 95% of us just go along to get along. I think the people who contribute to this program are in this 5%. Yeah. And I think that our duty is to win over 5% of people to cause drastic change. That is the statistics. We need to win over 5%, a minimum of 5% of the people. So for instance, if we're on this platform, our duty is to amplify it everywhere. I'm speaking news for London, right? It's going right across the internet, around the world. But are we doing that? Are we really doing that, amplifying it? Are we recruiting individuals to listen to it, to get that 5%? I don't know if we are. So, you know, the solution is to bring others in.
I think
we should target young people. Mm-hmm. We need to bring young, you know, I didn't tell you, you know, someone's going to accuse me, you know, the Uncle Ruckuses of this world are going to accuse me of telling people what to do. I ain't telling you what to do. I'm just putting out there to the ether suggestions, and maybe some young person will pick it up. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, you know, we need young people. And we don't have to agree with them, Baba Olchi. We don't have to agree with everything they say, because you were young once, I was young once, and sometimes our parents didn't even agree with us. Mm. And sometimes the people around us didn't even agree with us. We young people have a right to foul and make mistakes. Yeah, they have that right. Okay. So the reality of it is we need to bring the young people in. And there's the African proverb which says that if you don't bring the young people in the village, right,
they're going to burn it down. They'll burn a damn thing down. That's right.
Just to feel the heat. Mm. Just to feel the heat. And then look around you and see what's happening, if that ain't really happening. Because are we really bringing them in, or is there a disconnect? And I think there's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. Brother Ralph called my name. And when he called my name, I know that I'm doing my work. And the work I'm doing is the divine work. I didn't choose to do this work, Baba Olchi. You think I choose to ring up this radio station? It's bank holiday today, by the way. It's a holiday day today.
What is the holiday in the UK?
It's a bank holiday. So today, let me just divert and go there, because it's important. Today, we have a major event. We call it the carnival. They call it carnival, yeah?
Okay.
But the carnival, really, why we have the carnival in a place called Notting Hill? And if you ask, again, I'm just going to say this. You can believe me. You choose to believe me if you want or not. But if you ask most people who attend that carnival, what is the history of that carnival? They will have no idea. I think you mentioned, I might be wrong, on this platform, you mentioned Claudia Jones one time. You know Claudia Jones?
No, I don't think so. No.
I may have mistaken her name, but I'm sure you mentioned it one time. This is a lady who came from Trinidad, used to live in America, okay? And then she came to London, okay? She wrote a few books. She's well known. I might have her name wrong. And she came to London. Well, she was one of the organizers of this Notting Hill event, which actually started the carnival. The reason why the carnival was started because you had a man who was racially attacked in the street and stabbed to death by some white people in Notting Hill. Okay. And then shortly after that, you had some uprisings where, you know, as we do it, places were smashed up, petrol bombs were thrown, white people were attacked, et cetera, et cetera. And out of that came this organization, this campaign committee. And then from that day on, they had these celebrations, which if today, let me tell you as fact, that event now is the biggest event in the whole of Europe. It's not me who says it. Every year they tell you it on their own. Listen, it's not me who's saying this.
That's happening right now, the carnival, is the biggest event.
It's the biggest event in the whole of, not London, not England, in the whole of Europe. Now, I don't say that. They tell you us that every year that is event on their mainstream map.
Hello? Hello, Brother Paul?
Man. I hate when that happens.
Me too.
Hello.
Okay, yeah, there you are. Yeah, go
sorry,
ahead.
Sorry. I've got to sort some functions out on this phone. But listen, so that's what they tell us. That's what they tell us. But here's me again with my thinking brain. And I have to my critical thinking brain. And I have to criticize certain things. Because certain conscious people in our community, that radio station where you spoke on Galaxy Afiwee, yeah. Baba Ochi, yeah. I hear them say, oh, look, the carnival's been stolen from us. It's been stolen from us. Mm-hmm. I looked at some figures, yeah? Mm-hmm. You know how much money that event makes over 2 days?
Mm.
Have a guess.
A few million dollars? I don't know.
That event, according to them, okay, I looked this up online. That event makes over £360 million in 2 days. Now, listen, where's that money going? This is me with my critical thinking. I hear some of the conscious ones among us say, oh, it's been stolen away from us, yeah? I don't agree with that because I know there was some infighting among us, usual infighting. I know there was some disagreements, and I know some people ran off with some of the money. I know that happened. But what they've done, they've managed to form groups. What these people have done, the authorities, they've managed to form groups, swindle their way back in and take over. That event makes over $390 million in 2 days. If you think I'm joking, go and look it up. Not in
how long is the celebration? Of just a couple of days, or is it a week? How long is it?
2 days.
2 days.
Two days.
In those 2 days, they do that. And it's held one place. It's not held across the city. It's not other places where it is going on at the same time. Correct?
Listen, 2 days in the same place. But here, let me give you another fact here. When Jamaicans were the first mass group to migrate to this place in the 50s, main group, yeah, first group, they went in those areas, Notting Hill. Those areas were run down, demolished buildings, three-story houses, yeah? Sure. Today, you can't get a room in there for less than £1 million today in Kensington. Notting Hill is in the Royal Borough of Kensington. The most expensive properties in the Royal Borough, in the whole of Europe, is in the Royal Borough of Kensington.
Well, Jamaicans don't live there now, then, do they?
Well. Maybe in the social housing, in some of the social housing. Maybe one or two live there now. But most of them sold up and went back to Jamaica or wherever they went, right? Mm-hmm. The point I'm trying to make is, gentrifications happen, all sorts of things happen here to push us out.
Gentrification.
And they're taken over.
Yes, it's happening right in my own neighborhood, right in my face. Yeah.
Absolutely. But, Baba Ochi, right? My thing is this, yeah? And people don't like this. We sometimes have to look at ourselves because we don't seem to have a long-term plan. You understand? We don't have a long-term plan. We spend more time arguing among ourselves. The evidence is here, right here. We will argue about the most petulant, petty things among ourselves. Look, we've seen it on this radio station. We will pick our little stupid things and want to drag it out and carry on like we're idiots. There it goes, this dumb behavior, right? So for me personally, I don't give a damn what anyone thinks. I actually see this behavior and I put it as part of our downfall. And when I read Chancellor Williams' book, The Destruction of the Black Civilization, he says this has been going on for 6,000 years. He says it in his book. And I said to myself, what is wrong with us? But no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that. So we have an event which is worth over 360 million. We built that. The people who came from the Caribbean built that. Yeah, it was in a response to an accident, but it's turned out to be, and it's not us saying it. They tell us that it's the biggest event in the whole of Europe, okay? £360 million in 2 days that may event makes. But how much goes back to the community? How many schools have we got out of that? How many businesses?
Who organized it? Do the Jamaican people still organize it? Are they still in control of it?
It wasn't just the Jamaicans organized. It was mainly the Trinidadians and the Jamaicans the West Africans. Well, they came together. And
so you're having,
but what
you're,
I'm saying is, no, they don't have control over it anymore. Again, they don't have to control it. What they've done, the local authority have come up with some claims, or it wasn't, it was
right.
Being
they co-opted it. They co-opted it. They took it. They seen the kind of money that could be made. They made it better.
Exactly.
I know.
Brought in Coca-Cola,
yes.
Brought in all these big companies,
yes.
Yeah. And now they tell us how much money.
Yeah.
So, bruv, look, the bottom line is this, yeah. The bottom line is this. Yeah, we can, I hear the talk. Most of them, if you get some of these conscious people, who I even know, they probably say, yeah, they stole it from us. But I'm saying to myself, my God, when are we going to wake up, man? They stole it from us. Do we not know these people in 400 years what they do? So that means if we step up, yeah, if we step up, we can't allow them to do these things. We can't just say they stole it. We can't allow that. That means to say we don't argue about petulant things. We don't fight each other over small, stupid things. We stay focused. And one of the things we don't do is stay focused. We're easily distracted. And then I go to the distractions. Everything distracts us. Everything. Baba Ochi, I'm gonna say it again for clarity and good order. My brother Ralph mentioned it, and I wanna just steer it home. This is the dumbness, brother. I'm not calling no one dumb, but this is the dumbness. If you put something up on the net, right, like something like that, a plan, what you intend to overhaul people, okay, you put it up on the net. That means you want people to see it. But there's another thing going on. When you go to a website, it collects metadata. Metadata is all the information behind it, like your name, your address, your profile, where you go on the internet, where you shop, the phone can track you. Every piece of information is in there. So do you know why they really put it up on the net? Let me explain to you why they put it up on the net. And Uncle Ruckus, I ain't telling people what to do. This is why they put it up on the net, because they're making money out of it. They're making money to fund their campaign, because every person who goes to that website and does that, the longer they stay on it, the more money they make out of it. And they take your information and sell it to everyone around. That's how it works, okay? No one's going to have a plan to overthrow you that they want you to see. I mean, what is wrong with us? It's just dumbness. We're in this dumb zone. And sometimes I think to myself, what is going on? What is going on? So they're making money, 2025. So you go there and they're making money out of you, using your money and then working against you like they always do to us. They use us to work against us. That's what they're doing all the time. And we don't seem to want to wake up. Look, even the basics, Baba Ochi, you know, even the basics. You talk about Korean shops, right? We got them here. I'm not saying everything I say, we are mimicking here. So I'm not just saying it to you. We're just doing the same thing here.
So the Korean shops are in.
No. We don't have Koreans here. We don't have Koreans here. We have
Indians.
This is why I know it's a. This we have Pakistanis.
Yep.
And Indians. Yeah.
And Indians.
So what they do? But what I'm saying is, they do the same. When I go to America, I see exactly the same setup.
Yeah.
That tells me there's a bigger plan.
Yeah.
Because I see even the way they set up their businesses, you go in the shop and the counter is high, right? They put the counter up high. Exactly, so they're looking down on you. Who told them to do that? There's a plan they use. It doesn't matter if they're Korean or whatever. They sit down and have a plan. I don't know who's... I think the plan's coming from here. They tell them what to do with before they come, right? But what I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make is this, Baba Ochi. Why do we go in there? Why is it that we go in these places? Or, you know, if you don't want to do nothing sophisticated...
reason why we go in those places is because they're convenient, they're near, and even though the prices aren't really competitive, but it's there, you know? So you support the Koreans, because we have Koreans. Koreans have the hair care and beauty products and supplies and so forth, okay? Indians have the service stations along with the convenience stores that are attached to the service stations now, you know? All in our community, we don't run nothing. We don't anything.
What you're saying is that we haven't got the discipline to avoid them. We haven't, have we?
No, we don't. Because we don't have the leadership. We don't have the leadership, right? Because it goes back to what you said at the very beginning, or what Brother Ted Luss said. It's every man for themselves. Every man, woman, and child for themselves. You know?
Okay, well, I say this. This is the last thing I'm going to say. The reality of it is this. I'm the look in the mirror man, right? I'm not looking for no leader to tell me to be disciplined. I ain't looking for that. And I don't know why anyone's looking for that. To me, that don't make no sense. Why are you looking for a leader? Maybe, okay, I understand why we're looking for leader. Because 400 years, they told us to look for a pie in the sky, for Jesus or Muhammad. Yeah, 400 years, they've been telling us that. That's maybe why we're still looking for that. We're looking for this leader. That leader, it should be in yourself. That leader should be that person in the mirror. Person in the mirror ain't your leader, then we're still buying into this Eurocentric indoctrination. So my purpose, when I rant and rave, and when I, like my brother Ralph said, get emotional. By the way, Brother Ralph, emotion is energy in motion. And if you haven't got energy in motion, that means you're flatlining. That means you're dead. So what I'm saying is, I don't mind being emotional. But my role to rant and rave and send this message for the ruckuses of this world is this, right? I intend what my role is to africate the people and remove the Eurocentric indoctrination. That's my role. Africate you and remove the Eurocentric indoctrination, because that's what's being played out in every aspect of our mind, this Eurocentric indoctrination. That's why we go in these places. That's why we can't discipline ourselves. Thank you for giving me
that. That's right. And that's what you continue, that's what you be continuing to do, my brother. Appreciate that, Paul. We end this program like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fortier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.
Bubba Ochi.
Yes, sir.
If Paul is still on the line, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, I wish you were over here in Montgomery, Alabama. Boy, I tell you, I wish you were over
here.
Is
that right? What's happening?
Message. Because that's the type of message that needs to be heard.
I heard that. I heard that, brother.
Thank you so very much.